Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. And I just want to start off this morning by saying thank you so much for the way that you have directed us to worship God today. Don't ever take that for granted. And we should be thankful each and every opportunity that we have as believers in America for the freedoms that we have to worship God and to worship God in the way that God leads us to worship Him. And so I just want to say thank you so much, worship team, for doing that. And I also want to say thank you for your warm welcome and hospitality this weekend. It has been a really good weekend. And I won't lie to you, it's tiring. And I think it's tiring for everybody involved. There's been a lot of people involved this weekend. But I want to thank you for your hospitality, for your welcome, for making us feel welcome and part of the family. And like Pastor Jim said, my wife Christy is here, Maya is here, and Olivia is here. And Christy and I have been married for 21 years now. And God brought us together. We were both living in Iowa at the time that we met, but we were studying God's word in Israel, of all places. And so it's kind of funny. I like to say God has a sense of humor. He took two people from Iowa, made them go 7,000 miles so that he could put them together. And I love that too. I love her so much. But we've been married for 21 years and doing ministry together. And like we shared with the group yesterday morning, the children's ministry sponsors or volunteers, we love doing ministry together. As a couple, we love doing ministry as a family. And we are just glad to be here to share God's word with you this morning and throughout the rest of this past weekend. Maya is a junior in high school. She's 17 years old and already looking towards college, which makes us feel really old. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about when you get to that point, and I'm like, where did the years go? And I just remember this little girl who was plucking flowers, you know, and watching them drift away, and that's gone, you know, and now it's electronic devices or iPod or whatever. So, but we're anxiously awaiting to see what God's going to do in her life. I believe God has gifted her with some abilities to serve Him, and it's neat to see her looking for God's direction in her life. Olivia is in the eighth grade. She's 14 years old, and she's just been a joy and pleasure in our life. Olivia likes to play the saxophone, alto and tenor sax, and she's developing her music skills in that way. Maya plays the French horn, and Christy plays the French horn, violin, and piano as well. And so they're the musical ones in the family. I am not. I think I told Steve I can play the radio, and I'm pretty good at that. So I'm glad that they have great musical ability, and I love hearing them play music together and talk about music and theory, and I don't even know what that is, so I'll just stop talking about it. But we are glad to be here. And I just want to take a few moments before communion to share with you how the gospel has impacted my life. Because I believe that at the very foundation of all ministry, there's the gospel. Because without the gospel, it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, seriously, it doesn't really matter. And really, life doesn't matter without the gospel. And the gospel, I like Dare to Share Ministries. I understand that your church has been involved in sending teenagers to Dare to Share conferences in St. Louis. And Dare to Share Ministries, in some of their material, they say the gospel is the greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. And the last part of that's pretty sad. The first part is true, though, isn't it? The greatest story that's ever told. And so I thought this morning, what better thing could I do than to share with you how the gospel has impacted my life? And I want to share with you how the gospel has impacted my life in two different ways. And the first way is the eternal impact that the gospel has had in my life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you right through the gospel message. And I can't claim credit for the acrostic. This is the creation of Dare to Share Ministries leader, Pastor Greg Steer. But I love using this when I teach about the gospel because it makes it so clear and plain for everyone to understand, both older person or senior saint or a teenager or someone in elementary school. But I think it's worthy of us to talk about the gospel, the greatest story that's ever been told. And maybe as a result of this, some of you and me, maybe we will get better at sharing the greatest story ever told. Maybe we'll be emboldened to share it. And so let's look and see what the gospel actually is and how the gospel has impacted me personally for all of eternity. I think in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the Bible teaches us that God created us to be with Him. Let that sink in for a minute. God created us to be with him. Now, right off the bat, if you're ever wondering if you're important to anybody, or if you're of any value to anybody, you need to understand the truth of Genesis 1 and 2. God, the creator of this universe, in 6 days, loves you so much, he created you to be with him in a relationship. Not in a religion, in a relationship. God didn't make you to be in a religion where you do all of these different things to make him happy. He wants a relationship with you. And he created you and he created me to be with him. To me, that is astounding. Just let that sink in. It's an amazing truth. God created us to be with him. But of course, in Genesis 3, it tells us that our sins have separated us from God. You see, God created mankind to be with him, but there were some things that happened, right, in the Garden of Eden, and sin came into the world. In Romans 3:23, the Bible teaches us that all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when the Bible, I've always taught this growing up, when the Bible says all, that's all means, right? All people have sinned, including me. Including your pastor. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." It's a sad thing to hear, isn't it? But it's so true about us and our condition as humans. Our sins separate us from God. In Romans 3:10 it says, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one." Not one of us is righteous. You see, because of the choices of Adam and Eve, that sin nature has been passed down to us through the ages. And we are born with this sin nature, this separation from God spiritually, but the good news is on the way, right? The S part of the gospel is that our sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And if you look at the scriptures, basically from Genesis 4 till Malachi 4, you see this. You see this story of God, his desire to be with us, the knowledge that our sins separate us, our sins separate us from God, and that our sins can't be removed by good deeds. Aren't we as people prone to try to fix everything? Right? I mean, maybe I'm the only one. Do you guys like to fix things in your life? Something's going wrong and you want to fix it for yourself instead of maybe getting the help that you really, really need and you know that you need? Like, say, for example, I was talking to the folks up in the sound booth, and we were just talking about technology and computers, and when you want to fix something at home in this day and age, what do you do? I'll tell you what I do. I go to YouTube, right? Because those people know what they're talking about most of the time, all right? Most of the time. Wouldn't recommend it all the time because your washer and dryer might look really weird after what some of those people do. But it's worked for me many times. And if you go to the place where you can get the answer that you need, that's the best thing that you can do. But as humans, we have this propensity to try to do things, to fix things when it comes to our relationship with God. And that is simply not, I don't know how to say it any better, it's just not God's way. And at some point in our lives, in your life and in my life, we need to come to the point where we say, it doesn't matter the way I think it should be. It matters most what God says. So our sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death." In Isaiah 64:6 it says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Think about that for a second. The righteous acts that we do to try to reach a holy God, God looks at that and he's like, that's filthy rags. I think in the language here, and when I've studied this out, filthy rags is just not like your dusting cloth that you use at home and it's a little dirty. Yeah, it's dirt. But it also could include, it's the idea of something that smells really bad. Like you've used it to clean up after your cat when your cat's puked on the floor or something, okay? Or clean up after your dog when other things have happened, you know? It's a filthy rag that is just, it doesn't look right, it doesn't smell right. You don't want to touch it. And God sees our pointless effort to try to reach him on our terms and in our way as filthy rags, the righteous things we try to do in our own power. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." And I don't know how God can be any plainer in the scriptures than to say it's not anything that you can do. There's nothing that you can do to earn this relationship or to repair this broken relationship with God except for God's way. God's way. So God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from him. Our sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And P stands for paying the price for our sin. Jesus died and rose again. And you find this awesome story of Jesus in the Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see the life of Christ and how Jesus, God sent Jesus, his son, to this earth to live a perfect life, no sin, so that he could be the perfect payment for our sin and the final payment for our sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And in Romans 5:8, it goes on to say, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do you understand what that means? There's nothing that we did to earn God's favor enough so that he would send Jesus to die for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still in our sins, he took the initiative and sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. This has made a huge impact eternally in my life, and I hope it has in yours. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 21, and you see this from the picture on the screen here, it's a good illustration picture. The verse says this: "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So as Jesus comes to this earth and is hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, I've heard it said like this: he had each and every one of you and he had me on his mind. And the sins that we struggle with, and the sins that keep us separated from God are upon him. You see a list of all these different sins like cowardice, hypocrisy, porn, hatred, abortion, lying, stealing, murder, all of these different things. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's the heart of God for each and every one of you and for me. And that changes me for all of eternity. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous." And listen to this last part: "To bring you to God." What an amazing amount of love God has for us. He would send his son to die for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, for the purpose of bringing us to himself. Eternal impact. So paying the price for sin, Jesus died and he rose again. And E stands for everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And the book of John talks a lot about this. In Romans 10:9, it says, "If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." In Romans 10:13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children of God. From being separated from God and having this sin between us, and not having a relationship, to becoming an actual child of God. What great love God has for us. Amazing. So when we trust Christ as our Savior, we become part of God's family, not just in that moment, but forever. Forever. Forever family. You know what? In our culture today, some people don't understand that. And it's hard for them to understand, maybe because their family life isn't what some of us had grown up in. Okay, I'll just let you know. Some of you know my story a little bit. I was born and raised in a Christian home. My father was in ministry his entire life. And so my father was a pastor. He was a Bible college professor. He started a couple ministries at some point. He was a camp director. He did lots of different things. And I heard about the Bible and I heard about salvation all throughout my life. I like to joke around sometimes, if I was born on Wednesday morning or even Wednesday afternoon, and I don't know what day I was born, I was probably in prayer meeting that night. Seriously, some of you know what I'm talking about. And so I don't have any complaints about how my family life was, really. Were we the perfect family? Absolutely not. We had our quirks and different things that were going on in our family. But I had a father who was present, and my mom was present. But a lot of people in our culture today, they don't have that. And so when I talk to people about becoming a child of God, sometimes that doesn't sound very appealing, because they're like, well, I had a mother and father and things didn't go so well with them. Why would I want this? But we're talking about God the Father, the Heavenly Father, the God who made us, the God who loves us so much that he would take care of the greatest need that we have to have our sins removed to become part of his family. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." In John 10:27-30, it says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We are secure. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins, you are secure in God's hands. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. I like to use illustrations regarding family. You know, and sadly my father passed away in July of 2011. Or not July, it was April 2011. And so he's in heaven. So I'll use him as an illustration, okay? I don't think he would mind, okay? But I'm in a family with my mom and dad. And even if I did something to make my dad so mad that he didn't want to see me for, let's just say, 10 years. Let's throw something out there like that. And he just said, "I don't want to see you." And even if he were to say, "You're not my son anymore," does that mean that I'm not still a family member? I mean, really? Biologically? I mean, we don't need to get down to the DNA science of it all. You know what? I'm still part of his family. I'm part of him. Even when I disappoint him, even when I make some bad choices and in high school have some bad friends, and I make some choices that may cause him some grief, or cause him some issues of any kind in the community or with his deacons or whatever it might be, I'm still his son, even when I disappoint him. And sometimes we need to think about that in our relationship with God. Because I don't know about you, but as a believer, if I'm not walking close to God and I know it, I start to feel like I know things aren't right within the relationship. But there can be times when we question, well, is the relationship still there? Because I've messed up so much. And God, I keep doing the same thing over and over again that I keep asking forgiveness for. And God, I really truly believe that you do forgive me. But how can you keep doing that when I keep messing up time and time and time again? But God is a loving Father who loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us. And that he would hold us secure in his hands in that relationship. Once you trust Christ as your Savior, you're in that relationship. You're in God's hand, and the Bible tells us there in John 10, no one can take you out of his hand. There's absolute security, if you want to put it that way. So God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds, and paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusted him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Do you realize that the moment you trust Jesus to be your Savior and this relationship with God God is there. It starts now and lasts forever. And that's different than what some people might think. You might think, well, what that means is when I die, then I go to heaven and I'm with God. No, when you trust Christ as your Savior, that relationship with God starts now at that moment and it lasts forever. And that puts a responsibility on us as God's children to live in a way that pleases Him. So the gospel is absolutely amazing. This has changed my life forever. Placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, and I have this relationship with God now, it has impacted me for all of eternity. I know that when I die and this body finally just gives out, I know that I'll be with God forever. And I am with God now at the present time, and the goal is to please Him with my life. And so I have to ask you the question, has the gospel impacted you for all of eternity? And maybe there are some here today who you've heard the gospel for many years even, and you've never just made the decision to trust Christ as your Savior and to become part of God's family. Why not today? Why not allow the gospel, God's story, the greatest story ever told, to impact you, not just for today, but for all of eternity? As I already mentioned, I was a PK, and I'm still a PK. I'm going to claim being a PK my whole life. How about that? You know, we should have PK shirts or something, you know. But I'm a PK, and I knew the gospel from an early age. At the age of 4, I remember getting out of bed and going and talking to my mom about the gospel and thinking that I had made a profession of faith. But really, I think I was just trying to get out of bed like most kids do and go see what was going on. You smell popcorn out there. Because at the age of 8, I was at Sunday night church at a church where my dad was an interim pastor and he was preaching. And I don't remember exactly what he was even preaching on, but it had to do with salvation. I know that. And it was at that moment that God's Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I realized for the first time that, you know what, Matt, you're not really saved. And on top of that, you can't rely on riding on your parents' coattails to heaven because they're in full-time ministry. And so the gospel became very real for me in a very personal way that night. And I remember when the invitation was given, this is a church down in the South, and even on Sunday nights, they did invitations, you know. And my dad's doing the altar call, and I'm trying to get out. And my mom, knowing how ornery I was, she's trying to keep me in. And I'm like, what's the deal, God? You know, why can't I get out? I'm trying to get saved, you know. And so I found my dad after the service, and he sat me down, and he asked me what's going on. And I remember telling him I need to be saved. And my dad very graciously and very kindly showed me from the scriptures how to be saved. And that night, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And it was my decision. And it's the faith that I own even to this day. The gospel has impacted me for all of eternity. Has it impacted you? And if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior yet, why not today? You know, lunch can wait. That's really not of any importance for all of eternity, right? But why not be saved today? Why not accept God's gift of eternal life? When I was first talking to Pastor Jim about what to speak about today, we were talking about devotional thoughts and favorite verses. And two of my favorite verses, it's really difficult for me to find a favorite verse out of the Bible. I don't know if you have the same struggle. But two of my favorite ones are John 3:16-17. And it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And I'm just blown away by what God has done to reach me. I know how rotten I am. I don't know how rotten you guys are. And some of you guys are elbowing each other and stuff. But I know how rotten I am. But God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to die for my sin. And as Jesus is hanging on that cross, he's thinking of me. And he's doing it for me so that I might be brought to God. Eternal impact. I praise God for that. So, how does the gospel affect me every day? And I just want to share just a few last thoughts regarding the gospel and how it affects me daily, just from a pastor's perspective, okay? I'm not going to dig into lots of different doctrine, but it's a way for you to understand and maybe learn a little bit more about me too. So when I think about the gospel, and there's a lot to the gospel, I know these are just some very practical thoughts in how it affects me on a daily basis. My relationship with God must be my number one priority. I mean, it's the relationship that I have with God is a priority to him in his relationship with me, so it must be a priority to me. And so as I'm a man and as I'm trying to follow God and as I'm a pastor or a youth pastor or a children's pastor, whatever ministry God gives me, it is vitally important that my relationship with God must be my number one priority. Because if my relationship with God is right, then my relationship with my wife is right. I have the opportunity to feed her the way that she needs to be fed and to take care of her and to care for her needs and to love her the way that she should be loved. And the same is true of my relationship with my kids. And when my relationship with God is right and it's the number one priority and nothing else is taking its place and I'm focused on being the man that I need to be in my home, then I'm ready to be the man I need to be to serve God within the church and in the ministry that he's given me. Not only within the church, but also within the community. And so because of God's great desire for me to be in relationship with him, I mean, G stands for God created us to be with him, my relationship with him must be number one. Absolutely. When I think of our sins separating us from God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if I choose to sin, it's going to hurt the relationship. You know how I talked about maybe I could do some things to disappoint my earthly dad? I can also do some things to disappoint my heavenly father too. And so I need to be thinking every single day, what can I do to please God? How can I make choices to avoid sinning and offending a holy God, my father? And these are things that I think about. So when I sin as a believer, the relationship isn't affected positionally. It doesn't mean that I'm unsaved. It just means that, man, there's something between me and God that needs to be taken care of. And so I have to take care to realize that my sin will separate me from God and our relationship may be strained. And I may not be effective like he's intended for me to be. So when I think about that, and then it makes me think of my sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And sometimes, I'm just going to be very transparent with you. Sometimes we as ministry leaders or pastors, we love the ministry. That's not a bad thing. But sometimes if we're struggling pastors, we might think, well, God, I'm doing so much for you. Let's just let this slide a little bit. And again, it can be a temptation, but it's not God's way, is it? You guys know that, right? It's not God's way. And so instead of having this idea of that my service for God, well, maybe that will cover my sin, I need to be reminding myself that no, that's not God's way. And it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That not only goes for the layperson in the church or believers, but it also goes for leaders in the church. And maybe somebody here today is struggling with that. I'm so busy serving God, that's good enough. And it's not. We need to be conscious of God's way of dealing with sin. So my sin will hurt the relationship, but my God will forgive my sin on his terms and in his way. And when I confess my sin, God is always faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When I think of Jesus paying the price for my sin and rising again, it reminds me that I need to remember what Jesus did for me daily. You guys know what it's like in the Christian life, right? We can go through day after day after day, and sometimes maybe even a full week in between church services or from Sunday to Wednesday when you come to serve in Awana, and you might not even think about God once, right? Or remember what Christ has done for you. That should be something that we think about constantly and should motivate us to live our lives to please him. What Jesus has done for us. For me personally, I need to remember what Jesus did for me moment by moment. I'm a guy who could get very easily distracted in lots of different ways, you know. But I need to remember what Jesus did for me. And my love for him needs to grow. And my obedience to him will prove my love for him. I like to tell kids in youth group, when we hit this topic or we get to talking about these different things, that one of the best ways that you can show your parents that you really love them is by obeying them. And I think it's the same with our relationship with God. One of the greatest things we can do to show God that we love him is that we believe what he says, we believe what he says in his word, and we follow after him and do what he wants us to do. So when I think of the gospel message and we get down to the E part, and it says, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life, it reminds me that God's grace has been extended to me. His grace and salvation has been extended to me, and I've accepted it. But you know what? In return, I can be thankful to him, but I need to extend grace to other people in a practical way. Because the salvation that God offered me, he didn't offer it just to me. He offered it to everybody. And I want to be a grace giver and follow the example of God the Father. This is where Christianity can get hard sometimes, right? When people have offended us. When people have maybe drug our name through the mud. When people have, in any type of relationship, caused some division or caused us to just hurt and ache inside. And our natural propensity is to want to strike back. And to set the record straight, if you say it that way. To set the record straight, to say, no, that's not what happened, this is what happened, and you're whatever it might be, okay? But that's not God's way. God showed grace to me and saved me from my sins. I should be an example and show grace to others. It should be part of my mission in life to show grace to other people in the same way. And I need to work on that constantly in life. So when I think of L, when it comes to the gospel message, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever, I like to remember that this relationship is long term. And I tell you what, it gives you, it provides you with the ultimate stability in life. With no matter what circumstances come in life, if you know Jesus Christ, you know one, you at least know one thing. You are in this relationship with God forever. No matter what circumstances come your way, no matter what sicknesses come into your life, no matter what job situation you're in, if you lose your job three times in a row, whatever it might be, a major tragedy in life, you know for sure that there's a stability with this relationship with God. Because you're in this relationship that starts now at the moment of salvation and lasts forever. This is how the gospel has impacted me eternally, and this is how the gospel has impacted me daily. So I want to leave you with the last question. How is the gospel impacting you today? Maybe you don't know Jesus yet. Maybe you know that today is the day and it's time. It's time to place your faith and trust in Jesus alone. Not Jesus in your good works, but Jesus alone to save you from your sin. Maybe you've already done that, but maybe you're struggling in life a little bit. And I don't want to minimize that at all. We all struggle in our Christian life. But I want to ask you, how is the gospel impacting you on a daily basis? Is your relationship with God number one? Are you consciously thinking about the sins that you're struggling with and giving into? Do you really understand that it is causing a division in your relationship with God? It's straining that relationship. Are you willing to confess your sin to God and be forgiven on his terms? Are you constantly reminding yourself of what Christ has done for you and using that as a motivating factor for giving yourself to him as a living sacrifice? Are you a grace giver? Are there things that have happened in your life? Are there things that have happened within your family life or even within your church life where you're really willing to extend the hand of grace? And are you resting in the fact that your relationship with God is your ultimate stability? Or are you still chasing after whatever this world is trying to offer us to give us satisfaction that will never satisfy us the way that God can? I want to challenge you. Be impacted by the gospel today for all of eternity, But let the gospel, think about how the gospel is intended to impact you in your life from day to day. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about your great story today in the gospel. I pray, Lord, that you would use your word to penetrate the hearts and minds of the hearers of this message. God, help us to embrace your truth, to take you at your word, and to follow you and obey you with our lives. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today who doesn't know you, that your spirit would speak to them, and today would be the day that they would turn to you and place their faith and trust in you alone to save them. God, I pray that you would help us as believers to be impacted by the gospel every single day of our lives. Lord, for some of us, it really starts at just going back to the foot of the cross and seeking forgiveness for sins that we've allowed to take over in our life and Lord, that we've given ourselves to, and we need that relationship restored through forgiveness of our sins. So God, I pray that that would happen today. God, for some of us, it might be that, or it may just be extending the hand of grace to somebody that we've been holding a grudge against or that we've been embittered towards. God, I just pray for lasting impact of the gospel, and Lord, that it would be on our minds every single day. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us and for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could be with you in relationship. We just ask you, God, to help us through the difficulties. Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.